are, of course, continuing in our study in Hebrews chapter 11. And in particular, we are going to zoom in on verses 11 and 12 in this chapter as we look now at the faith of the first woman that we have recorded in this chapter. Her name is Sarah. That's what we know her by. It's a name given to her by God, which means princess. And as much as Abraham is called the father of the faithful, we can certainly say that Sarah is the mother of the faithful as well. So if you have your Bibles with you tonight, again, I invite your attention to Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll read verses 11 and 12. It says, "Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand, which is by the seashore, innumerable." As we examine these two verses tonight, we want to consider four points that we see exhibited here in the text. Our first point will be Sarah's obstacles to her faith. The obstacles to her faith. Second, we will look at the effect of her faith. The effect of her faith. Third, the foundation of her faith. And fourth and lastly, the far-reachingness of her faith. The far-reachingness of her faith. But before we even get to those points, I want to look again at the words that start off here in the text. It says, "Through faith, Sarah also." Now, the Greek here is actually the same as what we've read in our other characters so far, as we've looked at Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham. It is the same so far, so you could say by faith, and it would be exactly the same as it was before. And, you know, I think it's wonderful, and I certainly appreciate that the Holy Spirit has led the writer of the book of Hebrews to include Sarah as well as a few other women in this chapter. The writer lets us know from the very beginning here as he speaks about Sarah that her faith stands alone. Her faith is what saved Sarah. Abraham's faith was not imputed to Sarah. Sarah was saved by her own faith in God, and of course the same is true for us today. Our faith will never be imputed to our spouse or vice versa. We stand alone before God. But pay attention to the next word. It says also. Also. The writer didn't just say by faith and continue on like he did as he was speaking about Abraham or Enoch or the rest. He added the word also. Now, he had just got done speaking about Abraham and Abraham's call in faith. And though Sarah's faith is separate from Abraham's faith, it is intertwined like a great woven piece of fabric with the faith of Abraham. They influenced each other in their faith, as a good husband and wife should do. Now, you see, it also took the faith of Sarah to trust in what God told Abraham when he told him to get out of his country, leave your family, and to go into a land that you've never seen before. Sarah had to have faith in that as much as Abraham. You know, as we look into the Old Testament, one thing that I think that it's easy to see is how much Abraham loved Sarah. He loved Sarah greatly. And you know what? If Sarah would have said, "You know, Abraham, I don't know that I can do this. I don't know that I can leave Ur. I don't know that I can leave the family. I don't know. This doesn't make sense to go into this place we've never known before and away from all of this. Certainly, she could have influenced the decision of Abraham. But she had faith. And we have every reason in the Scripture to believe that she went willingly in faith as she trusted in her husband as the Lord had spoken to him and then told her what the Lord had said. She believed it was indeed the Word of God. You know, as I got to thinking about that very principle, I thought of the many preachers' wives, and even more so, we can say, the missionary wives who have trusted their husbands when they call, they say, you know, when they come home, you know, and say, you know, the Lord is leading me to go here. You know, I feel that the Lord is leading me here. And I know that the Lord will certainly lead the wife as well in those things as well. But those times got to be hard. They got to be hard. I think Sister Laura told me a story one time. They just bought a house when she was married to her husband, who was a preacher at the time, and as soon as they got the house and moved in, I think that he said, you know, the Lord's leading me somewhere else. So, you know, that takes faith on her part as well. It took faith, certainly, on Sarah's part. Now, with that in mind, let's go to our first point here of Sarah's faith, and that is the obstacles that were against her in having faith that she could even bear a child. The obstacles that were against her. You know, the very first thing that we learn of Sarah in Scripture, after we're told that she married Abraham, is a sentence devoted to her, a verse devoted to her, as soon as it says that she was married to Abraham. And it says in Genesis 11 and verse 30, but Sarah was barren. She had no child. The Holy Spirit right away led Moses to write this in this way to help us to understand the miracle that is going to take place later in Sarah's life by immediately drawing our attention to her complete inability to conceive. Now, we look back on time and we understand that in biblical days, as well as in many parts of the world, even today, that it was considered a reproach not to have children. It's considered a reproach not to even have a male child in these days. But we think about Sarah here, and, you know, the years would have come and seemingly gone, and there would have been absolutely no child. There must have been children being born all around her, to her family members. We know that Abraham and Sarah had many servants, a vast number of servants, and certainly children would have been born to them as well. But never did she ever have, seemingly, the hope of having a child herself. And the years went on, and the years went on. And even when God told them that they should have a child, it seemed as if no child ever came. And then we read in Genesis 17 and verse 17, and Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? 90 years old. Now, we think about how long some of these patriarchs lived, but we can tell here by Abraham's response that it was not a common thing for women who were 90 years old to bear children, nor men who were 100 years old to have children. In fact, it was probably unheard of, just as it is today. So her faith had to overcome the great obstacle of unbelief. The great obstacle of unbelief based on her past experience. She had never conceived in her life, and now she was an old woman. And we can understand from the human perspective, you know, when she was there preparing food for the theophany of God who came and made his presence known to Abraham, and as she was preparing food back there, and he spoke to Abraham about how they would have a child. We can see how in herself she would laugh and think to herself that how in this world could this ever take place? Unbelief is the opposite of faith. We cannot walk in faith and walk in unbelief at the same time. You know, I am reminded of the father who asked Jesus to heal his son after the apostles had tried and failed. Christ told him in Mark 9 and verses 23 and 24, Jesus said unto him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief." Help thine mine unbelief. If we believe in those words, then we have to believe that the statement is also true. If we were to say, all things are not possible to him who does not believe. All things are not possible to him that does not believe. Let me ask you tonight, whether you're here, or whether you listen by way of the radio or the internet or whatever it might be, do you believe in the Word of God? You say, well, yes, I certainly believe in the Word of God. Do you believe that all things are possible with God? Your answer should definitely be yes. God can heal a broken womb. God can heal a broken heart. God can heal anything. God can do anything. And we understand that all things might not be in His will. And when we pray to God, we must pray that His will be done, but we also must pray with faith, understanding that God can do all things. All things are possible with God. If God can speak this universe into creation, if God can make man from the dust of the ground, if God can hold the comets in their course as they transverse through the sky, God can do anything that you require tonight. God's help or unbelief. Now, let's consider what the effect of her faith was. The effect of her faith. Well, that answer comes to us here in our verse in Hebrews when it says that she received the strength to conceive seed. She received the strength to conceive seed. I want, if you would, to hold your place here in the book of Hebrews, because we're going to be coming back and looking at our verses time and time again. But I want you to go back with me to the book of Genesis in chapter 21. The book of Genesis in chapter 21. And we want to read a little bit of Sarah's testimony here as she conceived. Genesis chapter 21 and verse 1. It says, "And the Lord visited Sarah as He had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as He had spoken." I love that. "For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age." You know, this was some 13 years after she originally received the promise from God that she would have a male child. And now, just as the Lord had assured her several months ago, she indeed became pregnant. The Lord took a womb that was completely dead, and He brought life to it again. God gave her the strength, like a younger woman, to carry this child and to deliver this child in a successful manner. You know, we lose sight today of just how precious, just how many women, as they give birth, it is a travail. The Bible calls it a travail. And you know, when conditions aren't right, there are a good many women, especially in the past, who have died in labor. Now, we can think back to a couple of generations from now, and we think about Rachel and how Rachel would die in childbirth. And as we think, if there was ever an unfavorable condition to have a successful delivery from a human standpoint, it would be a woman who was 90 years old giving birth. Now, that's a big obstacle right there. But you know what? God didn't just restore her womb. He restored her ability to have this child. And we see here that Isaac was not handed off to a younger woman to nurse. God gave her the ability to do that as well. And as he grew, God gave her the strength to be able to keep up with chasing this young man as he grew. God renewed her strength daily as she cared for the son of promise. The son of promise was not to be born to a concubine. And it was not to be raised by one either. It was to be raised by Sarah, the mother of the faithful. I'm reminded of Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. It says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not be faint." Certainly, it would seem as if this verse applies to Sarah as the Lord restored to her the vitality that she needed to give birth and to care for a young child. So again, we come to this point and say, is there anything impossible with God? And again, the answer is no. By faith, Sarah overcame the obstacles mentally and physically, and by faith, the Lord did all that He said He would do. He accomplished everything in the season that He said He would. And one might say, well, that is great for Sarah. But I'm not Sarah, and if you're a man, you might say, oh, and I'm not Abraham. And true, I'm not either. But as a child of God, and if you're here and you're a child of God, then we know one thing tonight, that the same perfect love that God loved Abraham with, the same perfect love that He loved Sarah with, is the same perfect love that He loves you with. God's love is perfect. And I know that God's favor is upon His children. The Word of God shows me that. It always has been, and it always will be. And the promise that we have in Isaiah, that our strength will be renewed, and we shall run and not be weary, walk and shall not faint. You know what? That's a promise for me. That's a promise for you tonight as well. When I am weary, to Him I call to in faith to lift me up on eagle's wings. Whether it be weariness from infirmities in the flesh, like the lack of rest or whatever it might be, were things, mental reasons. You know, as I stand before you tonight, you know, I am not immune to mental weariness that comes from the troubles of life. Like you, at least most of you, I have to shoulder work and family and the responsibilities that I have to the members here of this church and to preach as well. And you know what? Sometimes, just like you, all those things can seem a little bit overwhelming. And just like you, sometimes you feel like you want to run away. Even more a moment. But you know what? I have to put my faith in God. Put my faith in the Lord to calm my heart, to calm my mind, to renew in me a comfort and joy. And you know what? He does. And He gives me the rest that I need and the strength to go on to fight another day. You know what? If God can give a 90-year-old woman the ability to have a child and the strength to raise that child on a daily basis, I know that He can take care of me. So believe faithfully that God is with you and that God is for you in all things when we are walking in His will. And that there's no problem that is greater than God and no obstacle that He cannot remove. You know, truly, you look at this scripture here and you look what's happened to Sarah. And I think these things are here for us. They're here for our encouragement to help us to trust in the Lord. You know, even when things seem mentally impossible, when things seem physically impossible, God is still able to do all that He has said. And He'll do it in His own time and in His right time. That's the part we usually mess up on, isn't it? We always want to rush the will of God. But everything happens in His due time. Now, let's look at the foundation of Sarah's faith. The foundation of Sarah's faith. Let's turn back to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, again in verse 11, we notice the phrase, it says, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Because she judged him faithful who had promised. The him here is not Abraham. It was not Abraham, her husband, she was putting her faith in. She rested her hope in the fact that God would be faithful to do all that He had promised to her. To her. I want you to remember, at this time, Sarah didn't have a Bible to turn to look at the great roll call of faith and to learn from great biblical examples. Sarah didn't have a church to go to every single week where she could learn how God is working in other people's lives and seeing how that's manifested. Nor does it seem as if God spoke to her as He did to Abraham. We don't have recorded anywhere where He came and spoke to her personally like He did Abraham. Her faith had to overcome many obstacles that, you know what, we take for granted. Because we have the testimony of God's Word. And though the promise, as we have said, must have seemed impossible, she judged that she worshipped a God that didn't just make the improbable probable, but a God who could make the impossible possible. Over in the book of Titus, we're told about the truth of God's Word. Sarah believed in the truth. She believed that the Word of God was truth. In Titus 1:2 it says, in hope of eternal life which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. God cannot lie. God is a God of absolute truth. There has never been a time when God stretched the truth. There has never been one of those times when God has told one of those what we call a white lie. God is truth. When Jesus was here upon this earth, He declared that the Word of God was truth. And you know what? If the world was to go on another 1,000 years, this Word that we have before us would still be truth. And it would still be fresh. Because the truth of God is just like His nature. It is eternal. It is infallible. It is the truth. You know, I'm fully aware tonight that God probably is not going to speak to any of our elderly women and tell them that they're going to have children in their old age as He did for Sarah. But you know what? The Word of God is full of promises that He has made to His people, that He has made to you. And I've never sat down and counted all the promises in the Word of God. I have read that there's more than 3,000 promises in the Word of God. I've read some people say that there's 7,000 promises in the Word of God. I don't know how many there are, but I know there's a lot. Many of these have already came true in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But to those who have their souls anchored in that great haven of rest, God's Word is full of promises just to you. For those who are struggling with things in this world, we have a promise that we can lay hold to in Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn of Me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For My yoke is easy, and My burden is light. If by faith we believe that God is true and His Word is true, then we understand His promise is true. So if you cast your cares upon Him this evening, or are you holding back and still trying to bear them on your own? Because I can tell you from experience, if you're trying to deal with them on your own, you're not getting anywhere, are you? And you never will. So take it to the Lord. Take it to the Lord in prayer and cast your burdens upon Him. God has promised in His Word to take care of our needs. Look with me over in the book of Matthew, if you would. Sometimes we just need to turn to these chapters. Matthew chapter 6, we'll begin reading in verse 30. Matthew 6 and verse 30, it says, "Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow was cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." As I said, sometimes we just have to go back and read chapters like this. We forget about them sometimes. It's easy to get discouraged in this world when we have one problem on top of another. Sometimes when you don't know where the next dollar's coming from. The Lord always provides. He'll always provide. You know, sometimes it might be through the generosity of another. Sometimes we might have to seemingly swallow our pride a little bit. But to God be the glory that He's given some to someone else that can help us out in our time of need. These verses remind us not to take our thoughts to the days in the weeks and the years ahead. So many people, they worry so much about next week, or worry about next month, or worry about the next 2 years from now. You know, if I sat around and I worried about things like, will my 401k be enough for me to retire on, and all of these things that may come in the future, I wouldn't be trusting God very much. God will take care of me. He'll take care of me tomorrow. He takes care of me today. He'll take care of me tomorrow. I don't have to worry. Of course, our greatest promise tonight is the one that we all have to look forward to. And that's the promise that He gave to us in the book of Revelation there at the end when He said, surely I come quickly. Surely I come quickly. Jesus is coming again. Coming to gather His saints in the clouds and to take them back to a city not made with hands, where He has prepared a place for us. Brothers and sisters, I hope that that is a promise you can find great faith in tonight. I hope that you don't ever get weary of thinking of that thought that Jesus is coming. I had someone tell me one time, that said, preacher should stop preaching that Jesus is coming soon because it discourages everybody because He hasn't come yet. Folks, it's the greatest source of encouragement I have, knowing that Jesus could come at any time. Now let's look at our last point tonight. That is the far-reachingness of Sarah's faith. I don't even know if that's a word. Far-reachingness. But it could be. It is tonight. Again, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 12, it says, therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. You know, when one first reads this verse, it would seem as if it's speaking about Abraham because of the use of the word him here. But we notice the word therefore here. And when we see the therefore, we immediately go to the preceding verse to know that the preceding verse is talking about Sarah. So on further looking at the verse, as we turn to the Greek, we find that the Greek lacks the masculine pronoun completely. There is no him in it. So the translation from Young's literal translation may shed a little more light on this verse. It says, wherefore also from one were begotten, and that one of one who had become dead, as the stars of the heaven in multitude, and as the sand that is by the seashore innumerable. The verse is speaking here about the fact that though Sarah's womb was dead, yet by her faith it would bear a child, and from that child the promises of God would continue to be fulfilled so that the seed of Abraham and the seed of Sarah might eventually become as the stars of the sky, as the sand upon the shore. It is from the seed of Sarah that we find the lineage of Christ. Not the seed of Hagar, but the seed of Sarah. It is in Jesus Christ, the one in whom all nations are blessed. So tonight, let's end with these thoughts. You know, Sarah could not have known all that would come from the birth of just this one child. I know that she believed in God. She trusted in God. And they had the promise of God that Abraham's seed would be, just as we just said, like the stars of the sky. But how this was fulfilled, Sarah could not have fathomed in her own lifetime. But you know what? Her act of faith changed the course of the world forever. So let's consider our own faith tonight. Does your faith stand strong before your children? Does your faith stand strong before your grandchildren? Just by seeing your faith in the promises of God, despite the troubled waters that we go through in life, it is an example to them on how to put their faith in the Word of God when we are no longer there to hold their hand, and when they themselves pass through those same troubled waters. And as they find God faithful, then they will continue in the faith and they will show that faith to their children and their grandchildren. And truly, we have no idea how far reaching our faith can be for the generations to come. But just as true, how far reaching our unbelief can be as well. Can we expect our children or our grandchildren to walk in the example of faith if we ourselves are walking in unbelief? The answer to that is no. We will have failed. So in closing tonight, trust in the Lord and in His Word and live every day with the understanding that nothing is impossible. Nothing is too big for the Lord. Brother Randy, if you'll come and lead us.